It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 11. And again, we're kind of doing a survey through, we have studied word for word and verse for verse by verse, the book of Genesis and Exodus. And we have went to the 16th chapter of Leviticus, kind of caught the highlights there of the Day of Atonement and what that means and stands for. And then we've moved on to Numbers. We're moving through Numbers fairly quickly here to get the folks to the Promised Land. Well, we're going to show what takes place here. We're not just going to jump because there's 40 years that is here. And so as we look at this book of Numbers now, I want you to read with me from the 11th chapter, and we're going to read the first 9 verses today. We'll probably get further than that into this book, into this chapter today, but that's where we're going to begin. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I would like to share with you that the website that we have is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Also, our address to write to us would be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. Hope that was enough time for you now to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We're going to begin reading now with Numbers chapter 11 and the first verse. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, and because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was a cordon seed, and of the color thereof as the color of Dullum, and the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it and tasted, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Now, we're going to stop there, and again, we're going to get down probably down through the 15th into 16th, 17th verse today, but before we do, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come and study your word and enjoy this time of fellowship. So please, that you will open our eyes, our mind, our ears, and most importantly, our heart to your will and way, and help us to be obedient to that will and way. Walk in your way, dear Lord, please. First of all, we know that to walk in your way, you must be born again, as John chapter 3 tells us. And Father, if there are those that are listening that have not turned to your book, to John chapter 3, I just ask that they will do so and read ever so carefully the account concerning the Lord Jesus and Nicodemus. And if they read on, they'll find that Nicodemus was eventually saved and became a strong believer in the Lord. And so please help all of us to understand. Nicodemus didn't understand. He just, how can these things be? And maybe that's exactly where most of the folks are at. But please today, Lord, help them to make it clear, understand, and accept you as their Savior and begin this wonderful walk. Now teach us your word today. We have so much to learn here, and just help us with it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on the way from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. And we have many, several events that take place between these, this location. We spent, again, at we spent a couple hundred years of actually being in Egypt. And then we come across the Red Sea and into the wilderness there and found our way to Mount Sinai by the leadership of the Lord and received the law and the Ten Commandments. We had the people numbered. We have been through that here in this book, the book of Numbers. We've also got the plans of how to travel, as to the tearing down of the tabernacle and the rebuilding of the tabernacle, and everything had its proper place. God is very organized, and just remember that. He doesn't do anything halfway or half-hearted. Everything has its perfect way and perfect plan. And nothing, that has never changed. God is unchanging. And so we're on our way once again. Now we've left Sinai, and we're on our way sweeping up to Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea, the reason that I keep referring to that is that is the place where, we will cover it when we get there, that he sends in the 12 spies to check out the land that God has promised to give them. And if you know the rest of the story, they came back with a report that was less than pleasing to the people, and it cost them their life. And so that's kind of the way it is today. If we decide to not trust in the Lord, no matter what it looks like, but we refuse to trust in him, so we do our own way and our own thing. Now, Numbers chapter 11, we find that when the people complained, any time that God is taking such wonderful care of us, and our complaining, we complain often about a situation or circumstances that we're in. Maybe we complain about our health. Maybe we complain about our work, our job, complain about our church, complain about the preacher. We are a complaining people, without a doubt. There's no question that we are a complaining people. Well, there's one thing that God just despises, that God just hates, and that is he hates complainers. And that's exactly what we have. We have here complainers. And so we need to see that that we don't complain, because that is something that, that God just, he just doesn't like. He just hates that part of it. And so we need to see that we do not complain as most complain. Now, God hates a complaining people. And this first verse here explains that very clearly. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them with their consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. You know, God hates this, as I said. He just hates it. And we have several things here that, that took place. The people complained. It displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it, of course. It angered him. His anger was kindled, and he sent fire to destroy these people. And he destroyed many of these people. And so as we see this and we look at this here, we need to know that then the people, when this judgment came, they cried to Moses. We see in the second verse, Moses prayed to the Lord. And we see in this second verse that the fire was quenched. So we have two stages here. And when we look at this, it doesn't really say they were complaining. It tells us that. If we jump all the way down to the fourth verse, we're going to find why they complained. You know, we are a complaining people, but this additional problem here, and it's called a mixed multitude, is where the problem arose, came from. Let's back up once again. The people complained. It displeased the Lord. His anger was kindled. And he sent a consuming fire, and it consumed many of them. So that was the result of their complaining. The people upon this, they cried to Moses. Moses prayed to the Lord. The Lord had the power to quench the fire. The third verse, they called this place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And so Taberah means a burning. You think complaining, they just were just complaining a little bit about something and God's anger was kindled so quickly. We know the character of God much better than that. Just a small complaint isn't so serious. But what happens to us is that the complaining continues, the complaining grows, and it's not long that God's anger is kindled. Why does God get so angry with a complaining people? It's because, my friend, we have received so much blessing. We have received so much from our Lord that we have no business, no right to complain no matter what is going on in our life. Studying the book of Job, you'll find that Job turns to the Lord and he wonders why the Lord isn't taking him home. He doesn't understand why he's going through these things. And to ask the Lord concerning those things and to say, Lord, please help me understand this. God, you're a merciful God, so please show me, dear Lord, why that I am facing these things. And I will, if you choose right now not to show me, I'll trust you and praise you, but I'm really having a tough time understanding this. There's nothing wrong with those words. There's nothing wrong with that. What happens to us is that we don't complain unto our Lord. We normally complain to each other. It's kind of like if the preacher isn't doing the proper preaching that that somebody thinks he should be doing. So what do? They do not go to the pastor or go to the preacher and say, you know, I don't understand why you're doing this. But they begin to talk to others. And they begin to complain. And they begin to cause some conflict and cause division, because there's going to be a certain amount that'll stay on the preacher's side, and there's a certain amount that'll stay on this other person's side, and so they've divided. And of course, the devil just loves that. Just loves that. So number one, we have no reason to complain. We are a complaining people, and we do complain. But when you have a problem, and if you're born again, you need to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you can talk to your God, and your God is the devil. Now, you may not like that kind of a straight talk and comment, but it's the truth. There are only two, the true God, Jehovah, and God, the devil. Now, the devil, when I say God, he is not a true God or a real God in any fashion. God can be anything that you bow down to and look to. That is a God. Now, you need to see, and you'll notice the numbers, because one is a big G and another is a small G. And the small G is the devil. He has no very little power. He has more power than most people acknowledge. But in relationship to God, he has very little power. The devil, he has very little knowledge. He has no foreknowledge. He doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Our God does. The purpose and the goal of the devil is to destroy you. That is his purpose. God's purpose, Jehovah's purpose, is to strengthen you, build you up, save your soul, set you free, and give you an eternal home, which is in heaven with him. What a choice. One is setting out to destroy, the other is setting out to save you and to set you free and to give you a life of peace and joy and strength and wisdom and knowledge from the very one that has built, designed, spoke into existence this world and everything in it. What kind of choice is that? But many people choose the way of the devil. So once again, if you're going to complain, please do it in not a complaining fashion, but a request. go unto the Lord. Say, Lord, please help me with this. Show me this. Help me, dear Lord, to understand this, because I don't. I just don't understand what I'm going through. And there's nothing wrong with that, with going to God and asking Him to show you. And He will, upon His own time, He will show you. But I guarantee you, even if He doesn't show you, He's going to give you the strength to go through whatever it is, if you'll just call upon Him and depend upon Him. But instead of that, people complain to each other, and they begin to divide. And as we look at this here, we find that many were consumed. The people come to Moses after doing this. They come to Moses and says, Moses, what are we going to do? Well, you know, Moses had every right to say, listen, you started this thing by your complaining. God is taking such good care of us. He's ushering into a land that He has given us. What are you complaining about? And instead of that, why, they begin to argue and complain back and forth. And it's the same thing. And I don't care any kind of a church that there's a work going on and folks are growing and folks are getting saved. Why, there's always somebody in there that's going to be complaining about something. Something the preacher isn't doing right, or something one of the other leaders of the church isn't doing right, or so it doesn't matter. The color of the carpet, the way the yard's being mowed, it doesn't matter. There is always, always going to be a problem. And so as we look at this now, we've looked at the first verse and the second verse. We've looked at the third verse. Now let's go to the fourth verse, because I made reference to that just a little bit ago. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna that's before our eyes. It's back up to the mixed multitude. This mixed multitude, that is the problem. When you have a mixed multitude, you have a people that are not comfortable in church, and yet they're not comfortable in the world. It's a people that seems to know that what the church is doing is right, but because they refuse to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved, they still have the old nature. So they partake in the things of the church, knowing that's probably right. They refuse to surrender their heart and their life to Jesus, as you need to do if you haven't. This mixed multitude here was mostly made up of Egyptians, if not all Egyptians. See, there was quite a group that came with Israel. They saw the power of God, and they set out to, they believed enough in the God of Israel to take this wilderness march and to leave Egypt. We need to remember that Egypt at this time was not in very good shape, because God's vengeance and wrath had come down upon Egypt in such a manner that there wasn't much left of this flourishing, strong, wealthy country. There was death everywhere. It was what the hailstones with fire didn't destroy. The locust destroyed. They have destroyed the rivers. Have gotten this blood in it as they did that. So they're just. Time after time after time, God went against Pharaoh, and He went against every god that Pharaoh stood for and defeated that god. And now, finally, they were released and set free. Well, many followed, mixed multitude. Many of these Egyptians come along. And we know that many times that any time a people goes into a land, there is also some mixed marriages. And so we're not sure how many of these were half Egyptian, half Israelite, and so the other spouse came along even though they were Egyptian. We're not sure how many here that come along because they saw the power of God and they thought, you know, we're not going to stay here any longer. We're going to this promised land they're talking about. And so they attached themselves to this nation of Israel. And we have a great mixed multitude. We're not given the number because, of course, they weren't numbered. But there was a great number of them that followed Israel out of Egypt. But because they are not of one mind, the mind of Christ, the mind of God, but they are the mind of the world and wanting to be the mind of God, they're this mixture and they're trouble. And so we find that not only does God's people start to complain, and the reason God's people complain is because somewhere in the situation, the world has gotten in. It could be in the preacher. Maybe the world got into the preacher, and so the people are godly and they're standing against this. Maybe it's something if we are of no denomination. We are an independent church. We do not. We are not of any organization. We do not abide by any upper hierarchy that is controlling us in any way. There is no one telling us the doctrine of the Word of God. We have taken the Word of God, and we have our Constitution, and the Constitution is the Word of God, and that's where we stand, and that's what we teach and preach, and it's wonderful to watch people to grow. This mixed multitude is the world. There is a mixture of the world there, and every time that there's a conflict in the church, it is always because the world has come in. And again, it's not necessarily that it's the people and the preacher is always right, because that's definitely not so. Preacher's human just like everybody else. And so he can get off bounds. Maybe he's beginning to follow somebody that is not of God. And so he begins to watch that area and that avenue, you know. And we need to be so careful, because there's so much out there that is there to take us away from our God. Well, here, as we look at these things, and we see these things now, why, this mixed multitude is the trouble. They are beginning to have a problem with their diet. And it's not long that if someone begins to question the diet or whatever it is, or the color of the carpet, or the color of the paint on the walls, or what the furniture is going to look like in the church. You know, more churches have divisions during a building program than any other. It doesn't take much for a church to become divided. And the reason that it's that way is because you will always find the mixed multitude. You're going to have people that act like Christians, but they're not. They're unbelievers. They're of the world, but they're in the church, many times running the church. And so they want their worldly attitude and opinion. The other side of that, of course, is that we are looking at the Word of God, because the world hates the Word. And so when the preacher stands for the Word, or maybe the church is standing for the Word, and the preacher has got off balance and on the wrong road, they're trying to come. It always is the world is the problem. And it's the same thing here. The world came with Israel, and they're causing the problem. And they, you know, remember the fish. Oh, the great fish that we used to eat in Egypt. Do you remember that? Oh, it was the most wonderful, wonderful fish. And my friend, if you'd go back to Egypt, the last thing that anyone would want to eat is a fish, because there were so many fish that was something probably the poor would eat, because it was so plentiful that was their stay, that was their diet. Well, now here, because they have been out and away from it for a period of time, they begin to look and decide that, you know, that's pretty good. And so this mixed multitude fell a lusting. And I'm going to change that a little bit, because what they're doing is they're remembering Egypt. The world is remembering Egypt. And it doesn't take long then to get a weak Christian to join them. And so they begin to say about this manna that we've looked at here, and it, look at it there, I love the combination. We've gathered it, we've ground it, we've beat it, we've baked it, and we've made cakes with it. And you know what it tastes like? It tastes like fresh oil. That was the opinion of the greatest food, the best food that has ever been in existence up on this earth. It is the best physical food. The only other food that's greater than this manna that was made is God's word that we feed upon, but it's spiritual food. This was a physical food for these people. And this physical food, they got to wear, as always, the same thing every day. Instead of praising God that we have this wonderful meal, I have never been healthier. I have never felt better. Instead of praising God for those things, what they did was begin to remember. They remembered the fish, which they did eat in Egypt freely, and all the other things, the cucumbers and the melons. Oh, remember all those wonderful things? Well, my friend, we need to depend upon God. And what happens to many believers, they attach themselves to people of the world. And this happens many times right inside the church. And they begin to remember those days. And that's what takes them back to all their worldly activities. And it takes them into a place of being displeased, complaining people. And God hates that. And it's not long that here comes, and God knows when you got somebody complaining, that they're going to find as many people to get on their side as they can get. And they're going to begin immediately to start causing trouble and disrupt the work of God. God's work here is to take them from Sinai to the Promised Land. And in this short voyage here, we have this mixed multitude that is half and half. They're uncomfortable in the church. They're uncomfortable in the world. They don't know where they belong. And in both places, they cause trouble. Well, I don't care if they cause trouble in the world. Just don't let them cause trouble in the church. But they're going to be here. And they are here on a daily basis. You'll have every time the world. And if you'll notice here, we see that very quickly that Israel wept. You'll find that in the fourth verse. The multitudes got to thinking about the old times and how great it was. Well, it wasn't so great, but they had forgotten. And then it got Israel to weeping, because they got to thinking, you know, Israel, you know, Egypt wasn't so bad. And all that leads to one thing. Whether it's the mixed multitude or Israel, what's the problem? That's my question to you. The problem is unbelief. They do not believe the God of Israel, Jehovah, can deliver them into something so great and so wonderful as the Promised Land. Their eyes are behind them. They're looking back. They're not looking forwards. They're remembering. And for us to remember, it's God says we need to look forward to today and what day today is going to give us and praise Him and honor Him. But instead of that, they got to thinking back. And they didn't remember very clearly. They didn't remember very well. Oh, my friend. As always, we don't get very far through this, but this is very necessary to take time to look at, because think about that today. Every problem you have within the church, the true church, born-again believers, comes because the world is present in some level or another. It's present. Get the world out, and my friend, it's going to be a glorious day. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?